Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we head out west to Hackberry Rod and Gun. We bring in Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk Stansel joins us now. And, Kirk, I didn't get a chance to look at the real-time fish cleaning table camera. What came into the dock this week?
Let me see here. Today is Saturday. Thursday we had a good day. And it's funny. And conditions didn't change that much for Friday, but the fishing fell off for Friday, or yesterday. And I call it, because it's September. September for speckled trout is transition month. You know, they finish their spawn and they're getting ready for the cold fronts to start hitting and to fatten up for winter. And, you know, that's when they start schooling up and feeding good. And this time of year, it's hard to pattern them, you know, this month. And it's all going to develop as the cold fronts hit, is, you know, the new pattern. And so it's... And now, redfish have shown up. We had some higher tides. We were able to get back in the marshes and catch redfish. So, that's usually what happens in September. You'll start getting your redfish run, and that'll carry you through till the trout start turn on again.
Yeah, we had some good redfish reports picking up from other areas. Well, you've been fishing down there for so many years. I don't want to say how many, but, you know, you have witnessed this transition year after year. What typically happens? Where do the fish go? What are their tendencies once that transition's complete?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like it's every year they know the calendar. I mean, it's like when September 1st gets here, the patterns just change. I mean, where you've been catching fish and you'll go there, the conditions will be the same and just the fish aren't there, or they're there and they're not feeding. But I guess because of the stress of the spawn or whatever, you know, just like with bass or freshwater, and this is just my guess. I don't know. I'm not a biologist. It's just what I've seen over the years. And then it's September and I've seen it get kicked in middle to the middle end of September. It's all around the cold fronts when they come in, and you get a push of bait from the marsh, gets the trout to school back up and turn back on. You know, that water temperature falling.
Any difference in whether you use live or artificial?
Right now, you could catch them on both, but right now, you know, the water's clear because, you know, we've had all summer, not a lot of rain. You should add that to the summer farm. So, I mean, I feel comfortable throwing artificial all day, just like live bait. The deal with live bait, you got that there are a lot of little undersized trout, and you know that just tears live bait up. I just soon throw artificial.
Right. We're gonna have a little bit of a front coming through over the weekend. They're talking about maybe in the 60s early on Monday morning, and we got a full moon, so we got to talk teal, man. He's starting to see, or will be seeing more, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think we'll see a little push here with this. I've been seeing, you know, they've been trickling in, you know, seeing birds here and there. Of course, we're in the marsh, we're not in rice fields. I'm hearing the rice fields are loading up right now,
mm-hmm.
but you know, in the marsh, we're seeing some. Trickle in, like I said, and this front should bring some more birds in.
How many times have you seen it where the rice fields are loaded up, not much in the marsh, but once the shooting starts, then they end up coming into the marsh?
Just about every year.
Yeah.
I mean, for as long as I've been doing it, you know, the marsh hunting for teal season is just totally different from rice field hunting. And it's usually when they start blasting the rice fields, they come to the marshes. And now, every now and then, you'll get everything is just right, lines up, the marshes are perfect, where the teal will be in the marsh. But it's usually on years that's a little drier and the water levels are real low because, you know, they like that shallow water. That's why they're in the rice fields or the buffalo fields.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to redfish, are they really up in the marshes where you're fishing them in shallow marshes, almost like a real fall pattern, or are they still kind of behind the dams and in some of the deeper water?
No, they're back in the marsh.
Good.
Fishing the shorelines, and there's schools of fish back there. And, you know, the best thing to do is, you know, you can catch those on artificial. I like to throw a gulp shrimp under a popping cork if I'm throwing artificial. For the redfish, now, and of course, live shrimp, you can't go wrong with that under a popping cork.
Yeah, I love the sight fish, those redfish. Explain to people, when you see a school moving, how do you identify them as redfish as opposed to mullets or some other type of non-species you're targeting?
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt when you see them pushing down a shoreline and, you know, and baits erupting out in front of them, kind of get away from them. And it's a school of redfish, or it could be a single fish you see pushing. And, you know, you want to try to get in front of them or stay in front of them if you can. It's hard to chase those fish. If they get by you, you're better off letting them go and maybe circle out around and try to head them off further up the shoreline.
Yeah, and even though somebody might be a pinpoint caster, you don't want to throw it on that redfish's nose. You want to throw it past him and behind him and then drag it in front of him.
Yeah, you want to, exactly. You don't want to hit on him because you'll spook him usually. Just try and get it back and drag the bait. You know, that sometimes that takes some pretty nifty casting.
That's what makes it all fun, and that's why we do it. Well, Kirk, sounds like things are getting ready for a very exciting fall. If somebody wants to come down there and enjoy it with you, tell them all the different ways they can find you.
Okay, well, call us at the lodge there at the office. It's 337-762-3391. And our website's Hackberry Rod and Gun. You spell out and.com. And look at the live cam feed. I mean, it shows what we're doing.
Easy enough. All right, let's get Scotty to beam us up next time, and we'll talk to you then.
All right. Talk to you later, Don. Thank you.
All righty. There he goes, Captain Kirk Stansel. All right, we come back after this. We move a little bit more to the central part of the state. We check in at Grand Isle. Captain Darrell Carpenter's there for us right after this timeout on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.